lover of Derek Carr?
We're back.
We're back.
I miss that so much. We are so back.
Sorry, I had to break. We had a mini loaf crisis. Trying to figure out cooking.
Bread chat.
Yeah, always. So we're going to talk Pittsburgh Steelers to start here. All right. Let's do a brief little recap here. The sweet embrace of another barely over 500 season hugged the Steelers once again in 2023 with a wild card berth and absolute stomping at the hands of the Bills, ending yet another Mike Tomlin season.
I can't believe he made Mason Rudolph viable, right? Like, it's such a good coach.
So I would say that the fact that they keep ending years with an over 500 record is impressive enough on its own. But the fact that he did that with Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, and like that defense was beat to shit. That's the most impressive part. The Steelers firing Matt Canada and replacing him with Arthur Smith is sort of like, that's like going from George W. Bush to Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, it's not good.
I think Arthur Smith is the final boss of the Nepo baby who has decided he's the smartest person in the world and has gotten there by his own merits. Like, that's him.
I think it's more like going from George Bush to Will Ferrell's version of George Bush.
Do we have any players on the Steelers who are like hotheads? Like, do we see Arthur Smith get swung on by a player?
George Pickens.
Oh, fuck yes. Please.
So Smith as an offensive coordinator tells us a few things about the Steelers' perspective 2024 offensive scheme. They are going to run a lot and usage will be inconsistent.
Frustrating.
The Falcons were third and first in rushing plays over Smith's last 2 years, so expect a lot of rock pounding. Smith leaves Atlanta and an offensive line that was perennially considered a top three unit to go to Pittsburgh, who have been retooling their line sort of on the fly. You have James Daniels and Isaac Sumalo from Philly, who played last year in Pittsburgh. They're holding down the guard position, but right tackle is going to depend on Broderick Jones continuing to progress and improve. The hope is that first-round rookie Troy Fatanu can play left tackle, though there were concerns about his size as a prospect. I mean, they've invested on the interior, so he's most likely going to be a tackle, but like, there's a chance that that's not so hot. Rookie center Zach Frazier was a mauler in the run game and one of the best prospects at the position. As Shane's pointed out a couple times, Pittsburgh has drafted three offensive linemen in the top 120 picks this year. Guess what they might be trying to do this season?
Run that motherfucking rock.
Right?
Nice.
So, we're going to start with the quarterbacks. Russell Wilson, he was a bad investment for the Denver Broncos. But was he a bad investment because he's washed? Or was he a bad investment because his play style wasn't suited to the drop-back-centered scheme of Nathaniel Hackett or the quick-throw scheme of Sean Payton? I'm just going to put that out there.
That's true. I think he's just getting old.
So this year should be an indicator of exactly whose fault it is. Wilson has a career ADOT of 9.5 yards, including last year's aberration of 7.8. That's bad. Arthur Smith offenses don't necessarily push the ball downfield a ton, but his ADOT will go up, and guess what? The play action pass is back on the table, baby.
Okay.
Russ last year on play action, 102 attempts, 66 completions, 740 yards, and an 11-1 touchdown to interception ratio. Let it breathe. He got benched last year for poor play, and his passer rating on play action was insane.
Sean Payton just didn't like him, right? Like, right. That was just like the cut of the dry. He's like, I don't want this guy. Fuck it. Get out of here.
Right. So in 2023, Falcons quarterbacks ran play actions on 28% of their dropbacks, and in 2022, they were running play action on 42%. Taylor Heinicke is the only Falcons quarterback to have an under 30% play fake rate. So this is Russ's wheelhouse. This is something they're going to rely on. That's good. Russ being in this system is a great chance for him to erase the poor narratives around him, and you know he's deeply concerned with how he's perceived.
Sure.
He's also a great deep ball passer, so that's to his benefit, playing with George Pickens until he ignores George Pickens, and George Pickens manages to punch Arthur Smith and Russell Wilson at the same time. Anyways, for fantasy, there's still plenty to like about Russ. He ran the ball 80 times last year, 44 designed runs, 36 scrambles. Atlanta quarterbacks ran 100 times last year, 68 of which were designed runs, which means Russ Wilson is going to have rushing utility on a weekly basis, and he's going to be running an offense, asking him to make deep throws to a great deep ball wide receiver. They're going to ask him to use his legs, and they're going to use the play action heavily in a run-first system. So looking at Russ's numbers from a purely statistical standpoint, undersells a guy who did pretty well last year with not a lot around him. Do you know that Russ Wilson was QB 12 in fantasy points per game last year?
Dude, Corlin Sutton
was.
I know. It's not unreasonable to think he could repeat that if he keeps the starting job all year, which is not out of the question. I think he's a premier streaming option or a solid quarterback too in super flex leagues. If I was pushing in as a dynasty contender this year, I could get him for a second. I'm all about it. Now, Justin Fields.
Oh, hold on. I hear screaming in the background. He's coming. Waleed is here.
I've been watching. So I've been doing a ton of research. Obviously, I'm trying to write up all 32 teams myself, so I don't have any blind spots this year.
Well, they're mainly just bringing in Justin Fields to do run backs, right? Kickoffs, yeah. I thought. Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah. They're not going to let future Hall of Fame returner Cordarrelle Patterson do that. They're going to let Justin Fields do that. I want to point out, so like I said, I've been doing all this research. It takes me like 4 to 5 hours to do a write up for each team. And I've been doing so much writing about football that last night I took a bunch of edibles and I'm like, I have Red Zones DVR'd on my TV. Katie's asleep. Fuck it. And I was watching the Justin Fields. Dude, he's just missing dudes left and right.
Is it over, Tony? Is it over?
I wanna know. This year's gonna be big for Russ and Justin Fields. I wanna know if it was because where they came from was irreparably broken, or are they either washed or never had it. Fields, for what it's worth, he feels like an Arthur Smith quarterback, right? He's mobile. He can open things up for the run game. He can turn broken plays into absolute magic. It's very emotionally taxing to analyze him on another team. I needed to take frequent breaks.
Especially Pittsburgh, right?
Oh, it's the worst. So I want to try to be as unbiased as possible when looking at his skill set. Arthur Smith gives mobile quarterbacks an opportunity to do what they do best. Mariota's 44% play action rate. Desmond Ritter's 53 design runs in 2023, et cetera, et cetera. If the last 3 years of watching every Justin Fields snap has told me anything, it's that he's at his best when he only has to make one read. Now, a heavy play action and run system should limit theoretically what a guy like Justin would be asked to do, and if he gets a chance to play, his legs provide an insane level of upside to even the bad plays that Arthur Smith tends to call. He's always been an elite deep ball passer, and George Pickens is the best deep ball threat he's had since Chris Olave when they were at Ohio State. Justin has proven that he's not going to win football games through the air, and he is now in a system that hopefully isn't asking him to do that, instead asking him to be a run threat who could uncork that fucking deep ball if he has to.
And I also think it's another team instance where they're going to lean on the defense real hard, like just play ball control, right?
Yep. So if Russ gets benched or hurt, we say what you will about him as a pure quarterback, Justin Fields will still have weekly top 12 upside simply because of how elite he is as a runner. This run game, you could project it to be similar to the one he had in 2022 in Chicago when he was at his most electric. Add to that what's clearly the best offensive line he's played behind in his career and an excellent deep ball wide receiver one, and there's a lot to like about this fit. It's all a dart throw, but of all the quarterback twos in the league, Justin is the one most likely to come in and be an immediate fantasy difference maker.
Well, it's like when I think Hunter said this, right? Like multiple times, like if he's the starting quarterback on that team, there's no way you're not playing him in fantasy football, right? Like the ceiling's just too high.
Right. So unless for redraft, unless he's the week one starter, he's not rosterable. But in the case of a multi-week Russ injury or benching, he's definitely a 75 to 80% fab remaining type of dude. You're going to use your waiver picks on him simply due to upside. Time to price him. 4-for-4's ADP aggregator, Russell Wilson, quarterback 28. And if you think that's crazy, Justin Fields is quarterback 26.
It's that rushing upside, dude. It's that Danny Dimes price.
An underdog, Russ Wilson is going at pick 219, so right around the end of drafts, and Justin is going at pick 201. So, gentlemen, Russell Wilson or Will Levis?
I'm going Levis.
Okay.
I'm going Russ.
Okay. Russell Wilson or Daniel Jones?
Definitely Russell Wilson.
Yeah. They're going to score touchdowns.
Okay. Russell Wilson or Justin Fields?
Ooh. Well, with what I just heard you talk about, Tony, I'm going Fields.
Okay.
That's tough because it's like you could theoretically get away with him as like Russell Wilson as your starter, right? But then, like you said, he always gets hurt. He always misses a month. It doesn't matter. Russ always gets fucked up somehow. I think at this point in the draft, man, unless you completely punt quarterback, you got to take ceiling.
Sure. Let's talk running backs. And you know what? Say what you will about Arthur Smith, and we will, and we have. Arthur Smith backs, they're going to eat. And it's also always going to be a nightmare figuring out who's getting the lion's share on a week-to-week basis. So essentially, it's the exact same as how it was when Matt Canada ran things. Thumbs up.
Yippee.
Now, Najee Harris was considered a disappointment last year since he finished running back 30 in fantasy points per game. But I think there's plenty to be optimistic about as he enters a contract year, as he looks to prove his value to a new team since his fifth-year option has been declined. This is why you never work hard for your employer, all right? Because Najee Harris has had 845 carries in his first 3 years.
Oh, my God.
Just regular season.
He was getting a lot of carries, but his average per carry, well, it had to have been below 4 yards, right?
It's not great.
But also, like, that's an O-line and an offensive coordinator issue right now. Like, he's a plotter. But, like, obviously his rookie season, he was propped up because, like, the rapist just could just check the ball down to him. Right. But, like, I don't think he's as bad as people say he is.
Also, by the way, Najee Harris has had 1,000 yards rushing every year in the league. Just by the way. So Jaylen Warren has capped his upside for fantasy by taking away his targets. Najee, his rookie year, had 74 targets. And then he went down to 41, and then he went down to 29.
Ugh.
Najee is still good for several weeks of high-end production, and I found out that his key number is 14 carries. He had 10 games last year with 14 or more carries, and his fantasy points per game in those games was 15.5, which would have tied him with Joe Mixon as RB11 last year.
Huh?
And it seems doable. However, that would put him at 238 carries on the season, and Arthur Smith has never given a running back that level of carries since he became a head coach. He did when he was the OC in Tennessee, but Najee Harris is not Derrick Henry.
Facts.
I think Tomlin will have something to say about that, though, because that's what he likes to do, is run the ball.
Yeah, but, you know, Nepo babies are usually pretty bad at taking orders, so
we'll see.
So I think given his contract, running style, and heavy amount of tread on the tires, we see a Tyler Algier-level workload with Najee this year, which should mean about 11 to 12 carries a game, 1 to 2 targets a game. Najee's not the type of dude to constantly maximize the efficiency on those touches. He was 46th in percentage of runs to go over 10 yards.
Ew.
He's a plotter, but he still manages to find value as a top 10 running back in missed tackles forced. He was 4th in yards after contact. And actually, both he and Bijan were over 4 yards per carry last year on zone runs. So they're going to a zone system, which could be good. Now, I love backing Najee in fantasy because I think he's a good IRL football player, and he's made the best he can with those shitty first down carries directly into the box that every offensive coordinator loves calling for some reason. But I think he's an uneven prospect in 2024 because Arthur Smith is Arthur Smith, and for something that I'm going to save until I get to the Jaylen Warren section. Najee will have a handful of top 10 weekly finishes, but should be drafted as the slower, less dynamic option in an ambiguous backfield with limited pass game upside. We've seen him be a workhorse as both games and the season as a whole moves on, and I think that's what we should expect. Slow start, strong finish. However, those finishes without his pass catching end up being closer to RB11 than RB5, especially these days. He'll get a minor boost if the offense takes a step forward, but until then, he's a dead zone running back through and through. Gentlemen, Najee Harris, running back 22 on our 4-for-4's aggregator and is going at pick 87 in best ball. So, Najee Harris or James Conner?
Oof. That's a tough one.
Yep.
I'm going Conner.
Okay. Same here.
Najee Harris or Raheem Mostert?
Ooh, I'll go Najee just because Mostert's like, I don't know,
90 years old.
Yeah.
I'm going Miami.
Okay. All right. Jaylen Warren. Jaylen Warren is what happened if Tony Pollard and Zeke stayed together in Dallas for another year. He is stupid levels of efficient and explosive, but his lack of a workload will always mean he's somewhat limited for fantasy utility. His 2023 was close to a breakout, and there's certainly reason to believe that he has that breakout this season. I'm betting on it quite a bit, actually. He doubled his carries, rushing yards, and receptions while having 100 more receiving yards and scored 4 touchdowns in 2023 compared to his 1 in 2022. He ended up running back 29 in fantasy points per game, despite only having 6 games with a snap share over 50%.
Jesus.
I have some stat porn for us here. 4th in the league in yards per carry, 3rd in percentage of carries to go for 15 or more yards, 2nd in the league in missed tackles forced per attempt, 3rd in yards after contact per attempt, 2nd in the league in rushing yards on man or gap runs. Bijan was 7th, so he's better than Bijan. He's a great outside runner, and his strongest gap is to the outside shoulder of the tight end, where he gained 7.3 yards per attempt on 16 carries.
Damn.
Bijan had 33 carries last year at that same spot off the shoulder of the tight end, and he had 6.2 yards per attempt. So, Okay. Double that work rate in that spot where it's a super sweet spot. So, Jaylen Warren was 44th in the league in percentage of carries inside the opponent's 5-yard line, which will always hurt his scoring upside. But it's reasonable to believe that the Jaylen Warren train might be leaving the station this season. It's feasible that he's once again a top 5 back in targets and receptions, and if his 8.8 rushes a game goes up to 11, there's a chance that he could be flirting with a top 20 finish in 2024.
All right.
If you think about Arthur Smith offenses, even going back to fucking Derrick Henry and Deion Lewis in Tennessee, the pass catching back has always ended up with around 175 carries and 60 targets.
Sounds reasonable.
This is financial advice. You'd have to believe that even if there's a slight decrease in efficiency, he could be a solid RB2 this year and have several RB1 weeks. Cordarrelle Patterson is going to get too many touches this year, but there's still room for him to get 50 or so carries and not ruin the bottom line for Warren or Najee. Both should flirt with RB2 finishes, but Warren is clearly the one that can do it on less touches and on a single play if needed. If this team ends up around 525 rushing attempts this year, which we can assume they will given their offensive setup and personnel, I would assume you'd shake it out like this. 100 rushes by the quarterback room, 200 rushes by running back 1, 175 by running back 2, and then 50 for everyone else. Jaylen Warren is running back 29 on 4-for-4's ADP aggregator and is going at pick 91 overall in underdog best ball, which to me is a steal. So, Jaylen Warren or Zach Moss, boys?
I'll go Warren.
Okay.
I got to fucking draft Steelers this year, dude. This sucks.
I want to ask you another one. Shane, answer this one first. Jaylen Warren or Jonathan Brooks?
I think I take Brooks just due to the fucking pass catching upside.
Okay. Ryan?
I'll go Warren again.
Okay. Last but not least, Jaylen Warren or Najee Harris?
Najee.
Give me Warren.
Okay. All right. Receiving room talk. Now, Pickens came in last year and took a major step forward to the point where the team felt they could get rid of Deontay Johnson and make him capital T, capital G, the guy. As a second and third level threat, he absolutely performed as one. Do you know that George Pickens led the league in yards per reception?
I hate Kenny Pickett.
18.1 yards per reception.
Dude, those are Marvin Mims numbers.
That's what I'm saying.
He was having some barn burner games towards the end of the season. Yeah, it was pretty nice.
Yeah, without Kenny Pickett. So he was a top 20 wide receiver in deep targets, air yards, air yard share, yards after the catch, and team dominator share. He was wide receiver 36 in fantasy points per game. You have a handful of top 12 weeks and a shitload of wide receiver 40 finishes. So I looked at his splits, and I honestly, I know it's a bit, but like there actually wasn't a huge difference between games with Pickett and games without. However, in the four games of George Pickens' career where Deontay Johnson is out of the lineup, Pickens gets three more targets, an extra catch, 37 more yards per game, and his touchdown rate goes from 0.2 to 0.5.
Pretty significant. Wow.
So if you want to get real stupid with it and prorate his per-game averages without Deontay to 17 games, it would be 71 catches, 1,500 yards, and 8 scores, 277 PPR points, which would have made him wide receiver 9 last year.
That's an insane efficiency metric.
Yep. I mean, obviously, that's absolute ceiling. Absolute ceiling. And there's very minimal chance that's a realistic thing for George Pickens. But he's playing with the best quarterback he's ever played with, and he's the guy now. There's opportunity here that should be noted. Both his quarterbacks are very successful with wide receivers who can play like Pickens does. And he should be the one that leads the team in targets by a long shot, like Adam Thielen versus the rest of the Panthers level of targets, where he's got like 140 and no one else has over 80. Let's see. Pickett was a bad quarterback, and while Russ and Justin Fields will both miss him when he's wide open and he'll get super pissed off, there will be a ton of work for him, and if he continues to produce, why go elsewhere? I found this from Jacob Gibbs on Twitter. When Deontay Johnson was on the field, George Pickens, 18.3 target share per route run and 1.64 yards per route run. But when Deontay was out, 24.3 targets per route run. So he was getting a target almost every four routes that he runs and 2.93 yards per route run. Yeah. Uh-huh. So Pickens' PFF grade on passes thrown anywhere from 10 yards and beyond is above a 97.
Damn.
He is that dude. And this is the year that we find out if he's a really good deep threat or if he's like a top-tier alpha in this league.
Moonball, baby.
Well, think about it. If you guys think about it, he's got the same potential that we put on Drake London last year, right?
True.
I mean, he's the guy in a low-volume pass offense who can win deep and is not a reliable separator. So time will tell if he's the type to handle double-digit targets on a reliable basis, but he certainly has the ceiling to make that leap into the Nico Collins tier if the quarterback play improves even a little bit. George Pickens has tremendous upside going into 2024. I believe he can win you weeks on his own, and for that, he's most certainly on my radar this season. He's a wide receiver 29 on 4-for-4's aggregator and going at pick 45 in best ball. So, my friends, George Pickens or Tank Dell?
I like Pickens.
Okay.
That's fucking hard, dude.
I think I
got to tank Dell, dude. I think I got to take the third option in that system as opposed to wide receiver one on the Arthur Smith system.
I'm only saying Pickens because Johnson's gone and in Houston they brought in Diggs, so that might turn into some.
Yeah. And Tank also broke his leg, right?
That's true. So George Pickens or Hollywood Brown?
I'm going Pickens.
Yeah, I'm not falling for that bait.
Oh, you want bait? I got bait for you. George Pickens or Christian Kirk?
Oh, God. I'm going with my Jags. Going okay. Kirk.
Okay.
I think I go Christian Kirk.
Okay. All right, moving on. I would guess Van Jefferson is here as one of the vets Arthur Smith brought along to help teach the system to the new guys. His big season came in 2021 when he turned 89 targets into 50 catches, 802 yards, and six scores for a vivacious wide receiver 41 finish. He should fill the same role in Pittsburgh he did in Atlanta and in L.A. He's a boundary guy that can block decently enough, who will thrive in the middle of the field at a shorter A-dot. Think of him as a really bad version of Deontay Johnson with worse route running and way less production. He's going to go 4-for-30 every week. So golf league champion right there. Roman Wilson was my fucking guy in the rookie scouting process, and it's pretty nice to see a guy that was extensively comped to Doug Baldwin end up on a team where Russ Wilson is the presumed quarterback. However, I did a little bit of a deeper dive. Arthur Smith used 11 personnel at the lowest rate in the league in 2023, and the year before he was 31st. Look, as much as I want Roman Wilson to beat out Van Jefferson to get boundary snaps since he's also a good run blocker, and his best qualities are improving when the quarterback breaks contain, which both Rust and Justin can do, I still think Roman Wilson is nothing more than a developmental prospect until either Arthur Smith is cast to the Shadow Realm or he takes over for that other boundary receiver. However, I will say this, if there's an organization that I want to develop a wide receiver, it's Pittsburgh. As of right now, he's not on my fantasy radar, but I'm really interested to see his usage, and I think year two could be an interesting year for Roman Wilson. Let's talk a little Pat Freiermuth. The Muth has been contained, and the question is he going to be Luth again this year? He was rookie year tight end 16, second year tight end 12, third year tight end 27.
Yeah, he fell off last year.
Uh-huh. His first year, he was saved by touchdowns because, yeah, the bad man loved throwing him in the end zone. His ADOT went up last year, or his second year, and then last year it just kind of sucked. So he played in 12 games, and over one-third of Pat Freiermuth's receiving yards came in a single game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the...
We bet on him that week. It was Arizona, I think. So he was literally a non-factor in most games with only four games going above 40 yards. Two of his games he had above three catches. He was 28th among tight ends in receiving yards per game behind such icons as Tanner Hudson, Hunter Henry, Gerald Everett, and he only had 1 yard per game more than Kylan Granson.
Who?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Kylan Granson.
Inside you, there are two wolves. Who and hell yeah.
Indianapolis Colt. Great.
I think that he's primed for more of a regression to the mean of his previous seasons, but that's still at best a high tight end two. And I don't think very many people play in a league where he needs to be drafted. His absolute ceiling is the second highest targeted player in this offense, but I am not risking a draft pick to do it.
If you listen to the podcast and you're in the Butt Fumblers Dynasty, don't listen to Tony. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
I don't.
I think.
Give me a second.
I think he does better than last year, but I still think it's not going to be as good as his first couple of seasons. I think I'm putting him at like between 17 and 20, something like that.
I am going to ask you guys to do something really gross here three times in a row.
We're going to have to put our fingers in the blob.
Your first test on this episode of Fear Factor, Pat Freiermuth or Chig Okonkwo?
Ooh. I'll go with Muth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Pat Freiermuth or Dalton Schultz?
Oh, Schultz all the way.
That's an easy one.
Is it though? Because he's gonna be fourth on that team in targets at best.
Yo, dude, Stephon Diggs is gonna cry. All right, because Dalton Schultz is gonna get 80 targets next year.
And we're gonna make our second appearance of this underappreciated tight end who actually led all skill position players in percentage of offensive snaps that they were on the field last year. Pat Freiermuth or Kate Otten?
Muth.
Yeah.
Okay. Atlanta was first in 12 personnel last year, which means you're going to see a lot of Darnell Washington and Connor Hayward, but I don't care. And that, my friends, is the 2024 Pittsburgh Steelers. But before we pass them, we're going to run through the schedule.
Oh, we didn't do the Panthers schedule either. Oh, well, doesn't matter.
Well, I was going to say, you could pull it up. We could do it at the end.
Yeah, we'll do it at the end.
All right. Week one, Pittsburgh in Atlanta against the Falcons.
W, bro. Arthur Smith's going to get fucking...
Yeah, revenge game. Up.
Okay. You're also going Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I'll go win, yeah.
Okay. Next week, they are also on the road. They are going to Denver.
That's in my I'll say win. Denver's in shambles.
Then they're playing at home against the Chargers.
I'm going to say loss.
I'm thinking anti-Homer.
I got high hopes for Herbert and crew this year.
Do we all have Pittsburgh at 3-0?
Yeah. This is how they always start, dude. They always start off red hot and they just fall apart.
I don't know. I'm saying they lose to the Chargers.
Okay. So you're 2-1. Next up, they go to Indy and they play the Colts.
L.
I think it's a loss.
It's a loss.
You can't stop Anthony Richardson.
Then they play Sunday Night Football, Carrie Underwood, because it's the Steelers and the Cowboys on Sunday night in Pittsburgh.
Loss, L.
That's going to be a bad Sunday night game.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly. 17-9.
Oh, yeah. And then next, they go to Vegas.
W.
They're playing in Vegas?
Yep.
Yeah, I'll say win.
Okay. At home against the Jets.
W.
Yeah, win.
At home against the Giants.
W.
Win. Giants forfeit.
I have them at 6-2 going to their bye. They come out of their bye. They go to Washington.
Win.
Yeah, that should be a win.
They play at home against Baltimore.
L.
Loss.
Oh, no. Don't they always beat Baltimore? Or do they always beat Cincy, right?
Well, they play twice.
They're always great games.
I know they got, like, someone has Joe Burrow's number.
Holy shit. Wait until you see how this schedule ends. So we've got home against Baltimore. Their next game is at Cleveland. I'm putting an L down there. Ooh.
They're going to spiral. Yeah, okay. I'm just hearing a spiral.
Yeah. This is about the time when they're experimenting with the quarterback and shit.
Okay. And then they go to Cincinnati.
Loss.
I think they split.
Okay. And then they play Cleveland at home.
I'll split them with Cleveland.
That's fair.
They go to Philly.
L.
Yeah, loss.
They go to Baltimore.
Wow.
I think they win that one.
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh's going to be lucky to split this year, so I'm giving Baltimore both wins this year.
Okay. They play at home on Christmas against Kansas City.
Loss.
Yeah.
And then they play at home to end their season against Cincinnati.
Loss. I think Cincinnati's taking both games.
Would it shock you that my totals that I just kept in my head brought them to 9 wins and 8 losses?
Yeah. Nah, they're going to be another 500 team.
I just want to say, though, that 6 of their last 8 games are division games. That's insane.
Yeah, when you were reading them off, I'm like, don't they play, like, teams in their division at some point? And there it was.
there it is. So, do you want to do the Panthers now, or do you want to wait till the end?
Let's get it done, because the first game of the season is the Saints.
Ooh.
Loss. That's a loss.
Chargers.
It's a loss.
Panthers. Yeah, it's a loss. Sorry, Panthers. The Raiders.
It's a win.
Okay, I'll agree with that.
Bengals.
That's loss. A loss.
Bears.
Big time loss. Huge loss.
Falcons.
Ooh, where is it at?
It's in Carolina.
I'm giving them a dub.
Yeah, I'll have them split with the Falcons, I think.
Next is Commies.
It should be a win.
I'm not sure. I'm gonna say loss.
Next is the Broncos. I keep doing this.
I'm gonna say win.
That's a win.
Saints again.
Loss.
Yeah. No, that's a win. They're gonna split.
I have the Saints winning both games against Carolina this year.
Big lover of Derek Carr. Giants.
That's a win.
Chiefs.
It's a loss.
Loss.
Buccaneers.
That's a win.
Oh, sure win.
Eagles.
Loss.
Loss.
Cowboys.
Loss.
Loss.
Cardinals.
Loss.
Buccaneers again.
Loss.
Sure.
Falcons.
It's a win.
I'll have them split.
So 5-6 wins?
I have 7. Sure. I have 7-10.
Wow.
That's fair.
Worst in the league to 7-10? I'll take it.
And they're a shit division too, right?
If you remember, my 420 prediction was that Carolina wins the division under 500. So
does that mean Derek Carr injury? What's happening?
I don't know. Let's get to the bottom of it, Ryan. Tell us about the Saints, baby.
I want Ryan optimism right now.
We'll see. Okay. Let's move on to the Saints. Derek Carr played, I believe, all 17 games last year. There was a couple games where he got banged up, but he ended up playing most of them. I think it's safe for me to say that maybe he misses one or two games this year just because of some random bang-ups. I'm really hoping that he doesn't have a season-ending injury because, guys, this team will not do anything with the likes of Jake Haener, Spencer Rattler, or Taysom Hill behind the wheel. So I'm kind of excited for the Saints this year. the front office, the owners, decided to give Allen, the head coach, another year to see if they can make the playoffs. But they did overhaul most of the entire offensive coaching staff, which I'm kind of excited about. I know you guys might not be.
I think it's fine. I just don't know how Dennis Allen has a job still after James pulled the shit that he did.
That to me is like, the locker room doesn't respect me. They decided to just not listen to me and score a touchdown.
Yeah. Hey, we got to get our homeboy a touchdown.
Insane.
So they hired a new offensive coordinator in Clint Kubiak. He spent the last 2 years in Frisco, son of Gary Kubiak, another Nepo baby.
Yep.
But he's considered one of the top up and coming coaching names in the league and hopefully can do something with the weapons that they have in New Orleans. I mean, for all the shit that people gave Derek Carr last year, he almost passed 4,000 yards.
God bless him.
25 touchdowns, and he only had 8 interceptions. So it's not that bad, guys. It's not like he's a 1-to-1 touchdown interception ratio.
He never said Derek Carr was bad.
He completed 68.4% of his passes, and like I said, for almost 4,000 yards. What I think will make it a little better is here we've got ESPN's Seth Walder shared some data about Kubiak and the Saints. So the Saints last year, their usage of motion in the snap, the Saints ranked 26, 14.3% of the time. But Kubiak with the 49ers were third, 37.7. So hopefully he can bring those numbers up a little bit.
That's what I'm fucking saying. Like, did no one notice that, like, Sean McVay has made a career out of sending dudes in motion at the snap, and it's taken these guys like 4 years to be like, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to give the controversial opinion. I don't think a lot of QBs are smart enough to do it.
Right, because you have to watch the change in the defense, and you have to correctly analyze their reaction to what you're doing.
Not everybody's Matt Stafford.
Right.
And it's taken forever, guys, for a lot of McVay's coaches to get out of the system. There's actually only one coach left, I think, this year from McVay's system. So got a lot of new things. Also, what I also like for Derek Carr this year, they have a new quarterbacks coach. This guy's name is Andrew Janocco, who was with the Bears the last 2 years.
Oh, great.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, but he's also been with the Vikings and has experience with Kubiak when he was on the Vikings.
Okay.
So he does have experience working with Kirk Cousins. He's got both sides of the spectrum. He's got working with the Bears and then also greatness with Kirk Cousins. So if he can do what he was doing with Kirk Cousins, that'd be great.
What if he unlocks Derek Carr's rushing potential?
Oh my God. Yes. Oh my God, dude. Oh my God. Derek Carr.
Derek Carr, next Tim Tebow.
They get him up to like betting lines of like 50 plus a game, like Josh Allen style.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, he's got experience working with Fields, and a lot of people will say that that's shit, but he's got his most of the experience with Kubiak, the new offensive coordinator, was with the Vikings. And hopefully they can work with Carr on some of that.
Just aired out.
Right. And with that being said, last year's signing of Carr the car, Derek Carr experiment in New Orleans, got off to a very, very bad start. Yeah, the Saints scored 20 points or fewer in five of their first seven games and started the year 3-4. Derek Carr, I say what you will, I'm guessing is the new system. He struggled in clutch situations, including third downs and the red zone. Among the 31 quarterbacks with at least 50 third down plays from weeks 1 through 8, Carr ranked 28th in expected points added per play. All right. He also had an ugly 39.5 completion percentage on red zone pass attempts during that span. All right. But he turned it around. He turned it around, guys.
Who did he hit in the back of the head? Was that Chris Olave that he hit in the back of the head?
Yeah. Yep.
But here we go. From weeks 9 through 18, he was 16th in third down EPA per play among qualified quarterbacks while posting a 66.6 completion percentage on red zone throws. So he's starting to turn around. The emergence of Rashid Shaheed, who did show promise, and I think he's going to go off, I think, and get hopefully over 800 yards this year. He had 700 something yards this year.
Thank you, Tony.
1,200.
No, there's no way Olave is going to get 1,300 yards and he's going to get 1,200. Or wait, maybe that will happen. All right.
Who else are they throwing to?
Well, they picked up Cedric Wilson, which is not bad. And that's going to be, you know, like the outside threat, probably. Let's see. Olave only lines up in the slot 39.8% of the time. Rashid Shaheed, 45.7. So Cedric Wilson is going to line up, I think, mainly outside. I think that puts to rest the A.T. Perry experiment. Like, he only had 12 catches last year. He had four touchdowns on some nice touchdown plays. But
remember when last year we did our rookie guide and TH Fantasy said, this guy fucking sucks?
But they got this new guy, Bub Means, who's even going to be competing for targets too.
Ryan, I didn't know you were on Twitter.
Yeah, there's Bub Means conversations on fantasy Twitter right now.
Really?
People are bored.
Let's look at their draft really quick. So they had a really good, interesting draft. They had the 14th overall pick, and they took Talisi Fuaga, outside tackle from Oregon State. So that's another good thing. Although they did have, I think, one of their veterans retire on offensive line. And
that's the thing. Ryan Ramczyk, he might retire because he's their best offensive lineman, and he's had, like, lingering issues, injuries.
Sure.
I don't know. They're saying that, like, he still might retire, but he's probably not starting this season.
Okay. So they drafted Kool-Aid McKinstry to help in the backfield.
It's a good pick.
They picked up Spencer Radler, who I know Shane hates.
Sucks.
Their fourth pick, 170 overall, they drafted Bub Means. I'll go look at what everyone's saying on Twitter after this.
Don't.
A few picks later, they picked up a linebacker from Texas. A few picks later, they picked up a defensive tackle from Northern Iowa. And they rounded it out with their very last pick with another offensive tackle from Eastern Kentucky to try and give Derek Carr some room. He wasn't tackled, or he wasn't sacked too many. What was it? He was sacked, I think, like 31 or 32 times. So nothing crazy.
Right.
Running backs. All right. We got Alvin Kamara, the man himself. Not the stellar year we're used to seeing. Had last year only 694 yards on the ground. But this man is a freaking reception machine. And I think that's
900 checkdowns.
Yeah. So there was some, I remember me and Tony looking at betting lines during the season last year. And his lines were always like five or more receptions. Like, that's like wide receiver, like good wide receiver numbers.
I want to say he, you know, because he was suspended, he only played 13 games.
Right.
In those, even in those, just counting those 13 games, he had more receptions all season than Amari Cooper, Drake London, and DK Metcalf.
Jesus, oh my God. Christ.
Yeah.
So he's going to be a powerhouse weapon for Derek Carr to use. Checkdowns, running, RPO.
Do you think he's on the team?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
He made some tweet the other Instagram post where he was like talking about like how things change and all this shit, where I was like, you could be a cap cut.
That's another thing too, Shane, is at the begin, I think before the draft, it was something like 80 million cap space they had to cut. I think they got it down to like 40 something.
Reasonable.
They obviously they have to do something before the start of the season. I don't know where they're going to do it, but
I'll say this: it's Kamara. They're keeping Kamara.
They have to. This offense is done with. So what do we have? The Jamal Williams experiment failed after getting like 1,000 touchdowns with Detroit the year before. He comes in and gets one.
And this is why I traded Kendre Miller away, because this O-line is like ranked 32nd in the NFL.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, they also have Kendre Miller, who hopefully they get him more involved this year, because Juwan Johnson's just old now. Or sorry, Jamal Williams. They still have Juwan Johnson at tight end. But that's their main threat at tight end, other than Taysom Hill.
Dude, Derek Carr was fourth in the league in check down percentage. He's either throwing it farther than God intended,
right,
or dumping it to Kamara. Why do you think he took so few sacks? Because as soon as someone's in his face, it's just dump off, dump off, dump off.
Sure.
Because he's weak.
Someone at tight end that we might see emerge this year is Foster Moreau, who has chemistry with Derek Carr from playing in Vegas. Cancer survivor Foster Moreau.
Didn't we try that last year and then he like dropped that game-winning touchdown?
Probably.
Oh, God.
Probably. I do want, before you move too far away from Kamara, I want to point out that
we'll go back to it.
Yeah, he was running back 3.
Yeah.
In fantasy points per game. Running back 3.
Definitely very good.
I'm going to say this. 20.5 yards, Alvin Kamara's longest rush of the season, over or under?
Under.
I'll say over.
His longest rush of the year was 17 yards.
Oh, my God.
All he did was catch passes. He can't run anymore, but I don't need him to run.
I've got Kamara right now for about 50 more yards on the ground than he had last year. So I'm going around 750, something like that. But I've got him for a little over 500 yards passing, around, I think, 8 touchdowns.
Ooh.
Yeah, Kamara's going to be good this year. I think the rest of the carries get split between Kendre and Jamal. So maybe they each average a little over 300 yards on the ground, something like that.
I have a question.
What's up?
Who has more rushes this year for the New Orleans Saints? Kendre Miller or Taysom Hill?
Ooh.
It's Kendre.
Wait, hold on.
Kendre's getting 50 carries.
Kendre, I wrote down, I got 65 to 70. Taysom, I got down 50 to 60. So, okay.
Reasonable.
I think this new offensive coordinator is not going to have any idea what to do with Taysom Hill. So I think his numbers are going to start going down. He's not going to be as much of a gadget guy as he used to.
Taysom Hill had 78 carries last year.
I know. It's crazy.
What did he finish as? Tight end 36?
12. Tight end 12.
God, dude. I fucking hate this country.
I also have Taysom Hill throwing for 75 yards this year.
Yeah, reasonable. Reasonable.
They'll get him on some stupid play just because they're paying him. They might as well do it. But I think with these new offensive minds that they have, they're not going to know what to do. They're with this gadget guy. Let's talk receivers. Let's see. Chris Olave last year, 87 catches for 1,100 yards. He had 360 yards after the catch. He only had 7 drops.
Crazy. He never did that in college. He was not a yards after catch guy in college.
Right. Rashid Shaheed, whatever Chris Olave gets this year, Rashid Shaheed should have about 250 yards less, I think, barring any unforeseen injury to Olave, which I hope doesn't happen either, because even with Carr, he's freaking awesome to watch last year. So I've got Chris Olave getting about, I think I said like 1,300 yards, close to that, maybe around a 12 or 13 yard average, because he was about 12.9 last year. I probably will go down a little bit, but probably closer to 12, just because maybe he gets closer to 100 catches. Shaheed, hopefully around 900 yards.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he's going to eclipse 1,000, but he could. He could. How awesome would that be if Carr has 2 1,000-yard receivers? Oh, my God. It'd be so sexy.
Fuck yeah.
I mean, they've got a bunch of guys to pull off of these guys. Cedric Wilson. They even brought in Equanimeous St. Brown this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they sure did.
Yep.
Michael Thomas is gone, so there's 70 targets that are open.
Right, right.
Do you think that Olave can ever be like a full-on wide receiver one? Or is he always just going to be like wide receiver 11, wide receiver...
Oh, you mean like 18. Overall ranked?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And with the talent we have in the NFL right now, I think he has a chance to be in the top five.
Whoa.
I think. Yeah, why not? I said it. You heard it right here.
That's crazy. To me, the five is insanely locked in.
Where did he finish last year? Was he 10?
Like 13 or something like that?
He was 19.
He was that far down?
And well, overall fantasy points, he was higher, but fantasy points per game, he was 19th.
Okay. I am seeing a report too that he injured his shoulder in the weight room. He's been wearing no contact jerseys at practice, but I mean, it's June, so he'll be all right. The defense too this year has got a chance to keep them in some games too. Like, they still have DeMario Davis. They still have Tyrann Mathieu. DeMario Davis, surprisingly, as he keeps getting older, he keeps like getting better. It seems like with his, he had like over 120 tackles last year, and the guy's like 35.
He's an IDP stud, man.
Their defense is gonna do some good stuff this year, I think. I think I'm gonna put New Orleans Saints defense top 10 fantasy defenses maybe this year.
It's reasonable
in terms of getting points. I think maybe they'll be on the top half of defenses that will score the most touchdowns this year.
Hell yeah. Tyrann Mathieu, ball hawk.
As long as, you know, the offense is not shitting all over the field and they're on the field constantly, they got to get some rest too. But you know what? I'm a big lover of Derek Carr, so that's not going to happen. So
He said the line.
I had to work it in there.
Come on. Oh, yeah. Okay, so I have some Chris Olave thoughts that, like, he's always going to get 6 to 12 targets a game. And that rules.
That's what you want.
A big gap.
But the problem is, how many games did we see Chris Olave last year where he went, like, 9 for 96 and no touchdowns?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's always going to be that, but I think that he's going to have, like, slightly better, but almost like a Terry McLaurin career arc where you're like, yo, this guy's so clearly great, but, like, what are they giving him?
Right.
Derek Carr.
It's, yeah.
And like I said earlier, nothing too excited to be about at tight end with this team. I've never been a big fan of Juwan Johnson or Taysom Hill or Foster Moreau, but one of those guys will be my mid-tier kind of shitty tight ends of the week, I guarantee this year.
A couple times.
Dude, yeah. Taysom Hill had 12 double-digit fantasy points games last year.
That's insane. I fucking hate Taysom Hill. God damn it.
Yeah, and that's why they didn't win the division.
He's on Underdog on Best Ball. He's listed as a quarterback. So there's no positional leverage.
Even on ESPN, when you look up ESPN depth chart, he's listed as the number four quarterback.
You know what happened, right? Someone who works for those companies in IT got fucking blown out in some game. They're like, never again.
I think Taysom Hill is a time traveler, but for like a shitty reality show, and he's doing a bit.
He's doing a great job.
Some future TV network is like laughing at. It's like almost like a.
It's Mormon punked.
Sure, it's Jamie Kennedy, but Mormon.
Wouldn't it be funny if I joined the NFL? Right, yep. Like that's his fucking bit.
So let me tell you why the Saints will be the NFC South winners this year.
Oh.
Let's go through the schedule really quick. First game against Carolina in New Orleans.
It's a dub.
It will be a win because it is the first time that the Saints are playing a debut of a head coach since 2009. So I'm calling that a win.
Okay.
The next game, they go to Dallas to Jerry Jonesville, calling that a loss.
Yep.
Dallas is 18-13 historically, so we'll might as well make it 19-13. The next game, Philly, I'm calling that a loss. They have the same record against Philly, 18-13. Then we're going to Atlanta. And I have them splitting with Atlanta this year. This first game, I have them at a loss.
Same.
But actually, since 2006, the Saints have won 25 out of the 36 games. Overall, though, all time, they're 55 against 54. So it's a pretty close series.
Sure.
Yep. Right off the bat, they're 1-4 or 1-3.
Yep.
And the next game, they'll be 1-4 because they're going to play at Arrowhead. They're going to play in Kansas City.
Okay.
Surprisingly, that series is pretty close too. They're 7 and Kansas City has won 7 games and New Orleans has won 5.
Okay.
Here's where we get a little bit of a win streak going. They come back to the Superdome and play Tampa Bay. I'm calling that a win.
Sure.
Overall, New Orleans has 40 wins in that series against Tampa Bay's 24. The next game, they're at home again against Denver. I'm calling that another win.
Damn, Sean Payton revenge game.
Good, fuck him.
Let's see. And actually, this will be the first win against Denver since 1988.
Good.
Denver surprisingly is got 9 wins against New Orleans 3 in their entire career playing each other.
Wow.
But we're going to make it 9-4. So that's another one. Here's one I had troubles with. They're going to LA to play the Chargers. I ultimately wrote down a loss.
It's a win for me.
Even though the last 4 meetings since 2008, the Saints have won. But I think the Chargers are going to have a little chip under their shoulder this year. And I think Herbert might do it.
That game will be on Red Zone twice that week.
I have them winning both games against Carolina, who's where we're going next. So I'm calling that a win.
I have a loss there.
Then they go play at home against Atlanta. I'm calling that a win because the first one I have is a loss. Week 11, I know you guys will be surprised. They're playing Cleveland at home. I'm calling it a win.
What?
Yep.
Well, Watson will be.
He's been on that defense.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Famous Jameis revenge game, dude. I fucking called that in the 420 episode.
Fuck.
That's right. Week 12 is a bye. Week 13 at home against the Rams. I'm calling that a loss.
Big time.
Week 14, they go to the Giants where they will forfeit for a win.
Huh.
Week 15 at home against Washington, I'm calling that a win.
I'm giving that a loss. I already have it in Washington. I have that as a win.
Okay. Week 16, they go to Lambeau for a loss. Week 17, they're playing Las Vegas at home. I'm calling that a win. And to round out the year, they go down to Tampa Bay. And win that game to win the NFC South. Does that come out at 9-8 or 10-7? Hold on.
I have them at 6-11.
I have them winning the division at 9-8.
That's crazy. All right. I mean, either you're right or I'm right. And we'll fight about it forever. I have a ton of Alvin Kamara in best ball, by the way. A ton.
I have one more year to ride the Derek Carr train because chances are we're not going to be doing this experiment after this year.
They can't get rid of him. They owe him too much money. They're $85 million in the hole for next year before the season even starts.
That's probably fine.
Anything else we want to talk about with the New Orleans Saints?
Tony's to talk his Alvin Kamara shit.
I think Kamara's going to go off this year. I think he's going to have an awesome season. He's going to end up with, 6.5 catches per game. By the end of it.
Hell yeah.
Criminally undervalued in drafts right now because he's crusty and his like run skills are not so great. He's not much of a carry the ball type of dude, but if he's catching 7 passes a game in a full PPR league, if you have that as your running back too, who the hell's complaining? So sure. I have him in a bunch of best ball places. I mean, he would have led the league in every running back receiving category. But he missed 4 games and he ended up 2nd in every running back receiving category. So,
yeah.
I think, like I said earlier, I think Olave is going to perennially be a wide receiver 2 that, we're hoping for a breakout, like a true breakout. Unfortunately, if Taysom Hill was listed as a tight end on Underdog, I would have like 100% exposure to him. Derek Carr's a QB2. And Rashid Shaheed is the best ever.
That's right. I want Rashid Shaheed in all my flexes this year.
I love that. So we hit you with the Carolina Panthers, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the New Orleans Saints. Now, gentlemen, the last part before we can call it a day. What are you doing next week?
You know what? I'm going to do Dallas.
Ooh, okay. Dallas Cowboys. Shane, your team.
Let's get it over with. Fuck Sean Payton.
All right, Denver. Okay. I like that. I think that's going to be good.
We're going to get better on the swearing, except for that line.
I am going to go with the 2024 Buffalo Bills next week.
Vibes. Okay.
It's going to be a good show. So, yeah, great job, everyone. I feel like I know ball now, and I hope that I hope if you watched, you also feel like you know ball. So enjoy yourselves. I hope summer's great for everybody. Go football forever.
Go sports.
We did it.
Go Derek Carr.
Derek Carr. All right, everyone. We'll see you next week. Thanks for stopping by. Yeah, have a good night.
Bye.
See ya. Hate Taysom Hill. God damn it.